Hey guys, welcome to Hope It Helps. Today's guest is Daniel Kingston. Dan is the general manager of So Uptown, one of Dubai's newest and most exciting hotels, which has already made a big impact in a short amount of time. Dan is a hospitality expert and brings with him over 25 years of experience working across the world for some of the largest hotel brands such as W Hotel, The Edition, Vida Hotels and Resorts, and more. During this episode, we discuss what makes a hotel brand successful. We talk about the realities and misconceptions surrounding the hospitality industry, the importance of delivering the best service to your guests, and the future of loyalty programs. And the last message he wanted to share is the hospitality industry can provide you with a lot of opportunities. Just remember to be nice. Please join me in welcoming to the show, Mr. Daniel Kingston.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for your time, Dan. I really appreciate it. So, Dan, obviously, me and you got connected through your wife, Stephanie, who works with my mom. And we had that brief, I think, encounter. It was in Mall of the Emirates.
Yep.
a year or two years ago, something like that. And you were telling me at the time, I don't think the hotel had opened yet. It was about to be opened. So here we are now, almost 2 years later, a year and a half later. And what I wanted to talk to you today about, Dan, is hospitality in general, your experience in the field. I know you've worked all over the world with all the big groups, different areas, different locations. So I think you bring a unique perspective on the industry since you have it from so many different angles. And I've had one guest previously, only one guest that we talked about hotels. So I went back yesterday and rewatched that episode. It was 3 years ago, I think. But just to pull up bits and pieces, I'm like, what did she say that I can like dive in deeper with that about? But before we get into everything, Dan, why don't you give all of us a little bit of background about yourself and we'll take it from there.
Sure. Okay. Well, look, I've been in the industry for about almost 25 years. I don't like saying that. It makes me feel very old. I'd like to say I started very young. Originally from New Zealand. Did my schooling in New Zealand, moved to Australia to do my sort of hospitality business degree, diploma in hospitality, And then disappeared overseas. So I haven't really been home to New Zealand and lived for a very long time. It's always been, you know, the joys of hospitality is you work internationally. So I've had the pleasure of being able to work in, you know, the Maldives, India, okay, back in Australia, Middle East. I've been in the Middle East now for about 16 years.
Wow, okay.
Started in Qatar, now in Dubai. Met my wife in Qatar. Kids were born in Qatar. They've sort of grown up in the Middle East. We sort of very much consider it at home.
Yeah.
So been in the industry a while now. So
yeah,
and enjoy it.
Yeah, for sure. And so I know, building on what you said, that I know between the Maldives, between all these different projects that you've been involved in throughout your career. The question I start thinking about is, and I ask people who like launch multiple restaurants and food concepts and stuff, the question I always ask them, like, does it ever get easier, or is each project like as if you're starting from scratch? Obviously, you bring that experience from previous stuff, but is each project you have to treat it like this is brand new A to Z?
100%. I think you certainly have learnings from each opening. But every opening is different, and I think there's lots of factors because of that. You could be location, could be different owners, different brands, and what you're trying to bring to life. So you certainly leverage on what's worked in the past. Mm-hmm. Every opening creates its own unique challenges. I think that the stuff you know is this, you know, which is similar across different properties is, hiring your team, making sure you have the right team on at the right time, and you have learnings from previous openings where you felt pressure because you haven't had the right person on at the right time, ordering equipment, all of those things. You know what you have to do, but then it's making it happen. And I think with hospitality, everyone's always trying to do something a bit different. That, you know, trying to be a bit clever with the design. Trying to bring that point of difference across to the guests, and so that's where you get caught up, is how am I trying to do this differently that's going to hopefully bring guests into the property and position the property the right the right way.
Yeah. What I found very interesting, learning about briefly about this industry was because as a consumer, I just go to hotels. Obviously we're the most demanding people in the world, and we're never happy and we're never satisfied. But what I didn't realize, I guess, on the flip side, is the amount of work that goes on to making this machine run. She mentioned that she's like, Khaled, when a hotel's about to open, doesn't matter if you're at the top, you're at the bottom, it's all hands on deck. I was the one scrubbing the floors. I was like, doing everything. But she told me, she's like, a lot of people don't know a lot of these intricacies that go on behind the scenes. And I think because of that, if people knew that, maybe then we'd have even if it's 1% more patience than we probably do.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Look, I think, at the end of the day, we're providing a service, and I think we have an expectation or to deliver to our guests, and I think it's not always, you don't want to tell the guests what you're doing, right? You want them to walk in and feel the property, but it is very much, there's always that analogy, right, of a swan or a duck in a lake, right? You're sort of all calm at the top and your legs are paddling furiously below the surface, and hotels are a little bit like that. I think
I love that analogy.
You see, you're at the front of you walk into the lobby, staff are smiling, everyone's happy, and we're welcoming the guests. And you walk into the service corridor, and people are running, right? Because you've got a big event downstairs, you're trying to make something happen. Maybe COVID to a degree, people got an understanding of, hey, they missed certain things, and they were probably a little bit more understanding when we reopened and things started coming back online. I think there was maybe a level of understanding and patience that guests had, but I think that's a distant memory now. I think people have moved on, right? And I think, but look, I think hospitality is probably a passion project. I think people get into it because we enjoy serving. We want to make people happy, and I think we've referenced it before. We see people at their best, and we see people at their worst, and I think it's our job just to sort of, go about, deliver the service best we can.
Yeah.
Hopefully it connects with people, and hopefully they want to come back. But I don't certainly expect them to understand what's happening. I think it's our job to deliver it and make sure we deliver it the best we can, and hopefully the rest takes care of itself.
So in your, if I've understood from you correctly, it's the subtleties or in the work that you guys do to create this guest experience for myself, you don't want me necessarily to you don't want to be screaming at me, be like, hey, Khaled, look, you saw how we folded, the tissue in the toilet like that for you. You know what I mean? Is it kind of like that?
Yeah, I would rather guests just appreciate what we've delivered.
Gotcha. Okay.
If you have to sort of tell them what you've done, maybe you haven't done it the right way. So I think it should be,
I like that.
Should be sort of seamless, right? And,
yeah.
And don't get me wrong, we certainly curse under our breath you're dealing with some instances. But look, at the end of the day, I think if you're, what I've found, especially recently with opening So Uptown Dubai, is we've really focused on a genuineness of service. And everyone wants to deliver that. It's sometimes not always done for various factors and whatever. But I think what I've found is when you are being very genuine and you are trying to deliver on that service, you do find guests are naturally more understanding.
Okay.
Things are not perfect. Things don't go perfectly. But there is a level of maybe understanding from the guests when they see that the staff are being sincere. If there is this sort of don't care attitude, then that's when you have bigger challenges with guests and lack of patience. But I think when there is that sincereness, it comes through.
Yeah.
It comes through.
And I think the service, any servicing type of job, is challenging because you're in service to someone, sometimes I feel like you have to probably do more than you probably would want to yourself or would be comfortable doing. And the goal is to give the guest, for example, the best experience. But at the same time, I think there has to be some level of fairness.
Yeah, do you get what I'm, yeah, do you get what I'm saying? I think, yeah, and then that's up to, I think, you know, we have different, you know, almost layers in a hotel, right? You have the team on the ground who are delivering the service, who are front and center with the guest. And, you know, it's probably my role or some of my leadership's team role to have those conversations with guests when maybe it is, hey, look, you know, we have done X, Y, Z. I think there's a point to what we can deliver. And yeah, maybe we sort of need to say, hey, look, let's just, you know, lay out those expectations in a way.
Exactly.
To say, hey, look, we got it wrong. We apologize. Let's move on. Or look, maybe this isn't the space for you. Let's still keep the respect. I think, you know, yeah, I think the respect piece is important, right? When things start to become shouting, you know, inappropriate language is being used, you know, at the end of the day, that is not acceptable. And yeah, that's when we'll call it out and say, hey, okay, you know, enough's enough. And yeah, and also, you know, there's also expectations on the type of property you're walking into. Right, I think if you're walking into a fast food joint, hey, there's a limitation of or expectations of what they're going to deliver. But then if you're walking into a, you know, a $3,000 a night property, there you've got different expectations. And I think it's just, I think understanding that and yeah, there is an element that also the guest probably should understand that too of what they're sort of walking into, coming into. And yeah, I think it's a fun industry, and you get lots of different types, right? And for all those awkward conversations, you also have a lot of great conversations, and you do see the team making a difference for people, and that's what sort of keeps you coming back and
exactly
keep doing it, right?
Yeah.
Those
exactly.
Positives certainly outweigh the negatives.
Yeah, because I think we're very conditioned to the bad. So when we get that good, you're like, oh, I remember you.
Yeah. And I think and it's important you celebrate the good, right?
Absolutely.
You know, we certainly, when we get feedback, when we've dropped the ball, you know, we take time to understand what went wrong, what could we have done better, how can we improve it? But you can get so caught up in that feedback that you forget to say, hey, look, we actually have got some really great comments. Let's take a moment to acknowledge that. So
yeah.
But yeah, look, I think every country has its own demands. There's no more demanding than the other. I think people in Dubai have a certain expectation of what to get from hotels. There's a lot of hotels, so you know, there is a lot of competitiveness out there. So you know, fair enough, there's probably a higher level of expectation on what we need to do in order to have those guests come back. But there's no, you know, working in lots of different countries. You know, every country is different and expectations are the same. But I certainly think Dubai has high expectations also just because of the expectation the city puts on itself, right?
Of course,
to deliver and be innovative and create a point of difference. And we need to make sure we embrace that in the properties as well.
No, for sure. And I think I always tell people when I Dubai hotels here honestly have ruined the rest of the world for me.
Yeah,
because I don't even need to go to like the number one 5-star here.
Yeah,
I could go to like, let's say, a tier 3 5-star resort, and that will destroy 90% of the places out there.
Yeah,
especially when we go to like over the trips, we go to like Europe.
Yeah,
and it's like this old prestigious hotel, but it's like a fucking box, and like it's old, but like, and you're gonna charge me like €5,000 a night. I'm like, no, sorry. I can't.
Yeah,
I just can't. It just ruins it for me.
Yeah, I think look, try having kids growing up in hotels, right? Like I think my daughter was ordering in-room dining by the time she was sort of 2.5, 3 years old, right? And it's not great. And I think last year we did a family holiday in New Zealand, and we went to a certain property, and my daughter sort of walked in and sort of turned to me and said, you know what, puppy? I think I'm a Dubai girl. And so I was like, okay, we need to lower expectations a little bit, right? Like you know, we need to, just tone it down a bit, right? But it's
I feel here though, like with kids, with all this kind of stuff, I think the culture here does play a part into that, because I was thinking when I was preparing the questions, you just said that no country's demands are different to the other. They come in different like shapes and sizes. I would say here it's probably more than in other places, kind of like what you're saying, because of the level.
Yeah.
Like you're competing with the best of the best. And I don't even know, honestly, nowadays, I don't even know what a point of difference for a hotel is, because I know it's all about the customer experience, that customer journey from when I book it to when I come in to when I leave, that whole thing. But there's lots of beautifully designed places. There's lots of loyalty programs. Yep. There's lots of great locations, design. Yep. So there's lots of great tech.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I'm like, okay, the only difference it's really going to come down to that I see, you know more, is people. That's the difference maker between this and that. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I think your earlier point about Dubai and the type of properties, I think, we do spoil guests. I think we have an eagerness to serve and deliver, you go to New York, you get a very different service experience, right? Sure. You complain about your room size, well, you'll probably be on the street tomorrow. So I think we do deliver fantastic service here. And I think 100% comes down to the people. Ultimately, yes, beautiful designed lobbies, social spaces in hotels. You can walk in and an iPad can open your curtain and put on your music. And yes, fantastic. But when the tech doesn't work, it also creates some super frustrations. And I think, we have so many great properties in Dubai. And I think for me, the key with So was really saying, you know what, let's just really just go back to basics and just let's really focus on an authentic guest experience where we genuinely want to help. We genuinely want to serve from, myself, whichever department it might be, is really delivering, just an authentic service. And I think, I'm not taking away from other properties. Some are very authentic. Some do really great jobs. Some it's probably less authentic. And for me, it was very much important that we got that authentic willingness to serve. And then other stuff comes with it, the personalization.
Of course.
Recognizing guests' likes, dislikes, birthdays, anniversaries. All of those things are key in how we go about creating the experience, but 100% it's the people. Taking time to find the right people. I think it's not a numbers game. It's not saying, right, I need 12 front desk staff and I go out and find 12 front desk staff. You also want staff who maybe represent the brand. Brands are super important, and guests pay for those brands, because there's a expectation that when I walk into a So Dubai, it's going to have a similar feel to So Paris.
So
it's important that you find staff that represent the property, and not just front of house but back of house, because at the end of the day, what we say on the tin needs to also
reflect inside.
And so it's all well and good saying we're fashion, we're this, we're that, but if we're not representing that with the people we have, then you miss a trick. And some guests may not notice that. To your earlier point, you walk in, it's a nice hotel, looks pretty, the staff are clean, the uniforms look great. But a lot of work goes into making sure that's there. So it is a seamless and just happens, and you don't necessarily feel it as a guest.
Yeah. You've touched on two points now in the conversation, authenticity and being genuine.
Yep.
Now, when you say that, when you say authenticity and being genuine, what does that actually mean, though?
Yep.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Because I think sometimes we say it, but we don't follow up with that second part of the equation of what does that look like? What does that represent?
So I think, I think it's wanting to do it. And I think it starts from me and the leaders in terms of how we treat our team members. Mm-hmm. It's all well and good me saying, hey, create meaningful memories, when I'm maybe not doing the same to the team and giving them the right platform for them to shine. And so, making sure have the right accommodation, buses on time, the food in the staff canteen is good, and making sure they're taken care of so that when they go out to the guest, they also, you know, when they see a guest walk in the door, is sort of go over and actively want to say, hey, where are you heading today? Are you here for, you know, business? What's the reason you're visiting? So I think it's doing it because they want to and not doing it because they're told to, right?
Gotcha.
And
okay,
it's not saying, oh, you have to
make
eye contact with a guest and ask about the weather and make small talk. I think it's them wanting to do it and having their own personalities. It's not robotic, you know. Would you like fries with that? It's more, you know, just natural. Hey, I noticed you got a surfboard. I love surfing. I was surfing in Brazil. I'm from Portugal or wherever it might be, right? And so having a willingness, eagerness, wanting to do it, and also doing it their own way, not programmed type of service.
Yeah. The room for flexibility.
100%.
To be yourself in this role.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I got you. Yes. I actually watched something. It was like a short TikTok clip a few months ago, and it was this, the general manager of a restaurant right before service. Everyone's in the kitchen.
Yep.
And he was saying, he's like, guys, remember, people come back for our food. Our food is like our number three priority on the list.
Yep.
And I'm like,
yeah,
what? Like, why I go to a restaurant because I want to eat the food.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's like, number one most important thing is your hospitality and the service we provide. Yeah. The food will come. Obviously, the food has to match that, but it starts there.
Yes,
and that seems so counterintuitive.
Yeah,
you know. But I think in your industry and listening to you speak, without that, the rest doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I think. Look, you need all components, right?
Of course.
And I think,
of course,
but. You know, if the service is not there, you know, why would you come back, right? If you're treated, you know, as here's your key, here's the room, you know, if it's just a transaction, look, people may still come back because they may be earning points, they may be at the good location, but it only takes you so far.
That's it.
And ultimately you'll start to suffer and you won't see that return guests. And that GM is right, you know, if food is important and but ultimately it's how it's delivered and how the team engage and that you have the right vibe and you think about it in those places that you probably like in Dubai, there's something about them, they may be a little bit different or they've they need to have more than just great food.
Yeah, exactly.
So no, 100% agree.
Yeah, and coming on, we've talked about the people aspect. So I know, correct me if I'm wrong, when you started in this industry, you started as a deputy front office manager.
Yeah, look, like, I started on.
So people, and I've been reading this book recently, and it was saying that if you look at the most successful like entrepreneurs or people in their industries, whatever, they're the ones who oftentimes the ones who started from the from zero and built their way up. Yep. So, given since you went through that experience, how do you feel progressing your career from, you know, the bottom to getting to the top to where you are now? I feel that gives you a very unique, holistic perspective on so many different aspects of like hospitality and hotels that you probably wouldn't get if I was just doing one thing or I came in at the top end later in the thing. How do you reflect on that?
Yeah, look, look, I think you've probably, the biggest thing is you've gone through the challenges, right? You know what it's like to be, you know, working 24 hours because there's an issue with the system and you need to stay longer and you're running luggage to a room or you've got a lot of angry guests in front of you and you're trying to get them in as fast as they can. And I think you understand the challenges that team members have faced in order to do their job. And so it gives you probably a certain level of patience or understanding when you're sitting there and saying, hey, look, guys, we didn't deliver that well. I get maybe there's some frustrations, but these are things that I found worked for me to get through those moments. Certainly helps when team members try and you know, pull blindfolds over your eyes because you've lived through it, right? So it's like, look, are you really sick? I've done all those shortcuts too. So I think you certainly know some of the tricks. But I think hospitality is very much, I think a lot is from starting from those probably frontline positions and going through it. I think most people in similar to my role would have been through that. And so it does give you a good perspective of what some of those challenges are and how to overcome it. I think it helps, you know, I think it helps you develop your own management style because you've probably worked with different types of leaders.
True, true.
You've seen what maybe worked for me, maybe I would do differently. And, mm-hmm. and I think that's probably been one of the biggest things for me is more my management style in terms of learning how to interact with different types of team members. I think here in Dubai, there's so many different cultures, which keep you on your toes and you need to have a different approach with different individuals. I think, and you see it, we have a lot of young leaders and I think they try to push their style on their teams. And sometimes you need to kind of flex your own style and try a different approach. Sometimes it's, yes, being nice and let's put an arm around someone. And other times it's holding people accountable and saying, hey, look, yes, we have the right culture. We want everyone to work together. But there's also a level of expectation from my side. So, but I think, yeah, it certainly gives you a better understanding of what the team go through.
Yeah.
And hospitality is a very physical industry, you know, there's a lot of standing, a lot of on your feet, a lot of, you know, dealing with people. You know, I'll get home and you know, my wife will be like, let's go out to this party. And you're kind of like, well, I've kind of probably exhausted all my conversation today, but you know, so yeah, it's like, yeah, I really just need to not talk to anyone for an hour or two. It is one of those, look, there's lots of tough industries out there. You know, we're not saving lives. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's an industry that's there to make people happy. And that's what I sort of tell the front line guys, right? Your job is really just to say yes and make things happen for the guest. It's my job to probably say no to them, right? Where, you know, I don't expect you to say that. So,
yeah.
But no, I think it certainly gives you a unique understanding of what the teams are going through and how to support them in what they're delivering.
For really, sure. Yeah. And I think I that insight into having been in those positions yourself on the other side of it gives you not only an ability to understand what each role, not only what the responsibilities are, but the stresses that come with that and how can we, you know, curate or deliver a better experience, you know, for our employees, which then translates to the guest. It feels like hospitality is a very, it's a very thankless industry. Like the title that just keeps coming in my head is like, it's never enough.
It's a point, right? I think.
Because you don't have, you have one chance.
Yeah.
Because there's options elsewhere. Even myself, if I go to a restaurant and especially, and Dubai amplifies that too, because Dubai, I could go to a very good restaurant, great restaurant, good food, whatever. But that's not even enough for me anymore. Just because the food was good doesn't... there's some restaurants I'm like, it was good, but I would never tell anyone to go back because I want to go back.
Yeah.
So you don't really have much wiggle room for mistakes.
No, and I think... Yeah, no, you're right. And I think... And sometimes it's hard to put your finger on why something works and something doesn't work, right?
There's
a lot of, you know, history of even properties I've opened where, you know, you may be in a bit of an awkward location, you know, you're not sure whether this will fly or not. And it takes off. And then you've got maybe a restaurant upstairs that just doesn't. And you're almost in the same location, thinking you're creating a similar vibe, good food and people. But some work and some don't. And, I think, you know, it's interesting. You say thankless. It's funny. Like when I get called to the lobby, someone wants to see the GM, and invariably it's not always for that, hey, everything went well. But sometimes it is, and it's really nice when you sort of, you've got this expectation, the conversation is going to go a really, really weird way. I had a guest the other, you call this 5-star, and I'm like, we think we're delivering, and I'm sorry if you don't feel that way. What do you think we can do better? Oh, no, this should be 6-star. And so, it went a really different way. And you're like, okay, that was a – I said, I really don't often get called for these conversations. So, I think I wouldn't say thankless. I think, it's an industry where I think, like I said earlier, we're in it because we enjoy – service, we like to try and create a difference, create a nice experience for people. And then if you have a good team around you, that's where, you can create a good vibe, and you're doing with a good bunch of people. It's okay, you enjoy it, and you're creating something fun, and you're proud of when you do see maybe your property winning an award or out in the press or the right caliber of guests coming through or the odd. So in that way, You take a lot of positives from that, and that's where you go, hey, you know what? Maybe we're getting it right. Maybe we are doing what we should be doing and nailing it.
Yeah. I'm curious for you because I learned about, from my last conversation about, I never thought of hotels as brands, but they are.
Yep.
And that each, because I asked her, is it different working with different hotel chains and so on? And then when she put it into in like a branding perspective, it all made sense. And like, okay, I get that.
Yep.
I get that.
Yep.
But I feel like with this, with hospitality, because you're a great example. What would entice me to come join this hotel? Like, for example, what would, like, in your career, what were the, and as a general manager especially, what were the, I guess, how did you base your decision to leave one to join another one? Besides the compensation aspect, what is it, I guess, about a different brand or the different brands that you've worked with that enticed you to join?
Yep. No, it's a good question because I think, look, there's lots of for me, I need to believe in the product I'm selling. Okay. And I've always found, we talk about these sort of luxury lifestyle properties. In the past, you very much had luxury properties. You didn't really reference a lot of lifestyle. But I remember for me, I had the privilege of working with a fantastic property in London. And it was a very old English hotel. The Queen Mother would come for lunch. The Queen would come. If someone was being knighted in Buckingham Palace, they would come to our hotel for lunch. And it was very old English, but it had a really fun team. There was a lot of great energy, and you could have fun with guests, even though you're in a very, very old school environment. And that was partly the owner. It was still family owned. He was very quirky, and that came through. And when I moved back to Australia at the time, I moved to sort of a regular hotel, and it just lacked a little bit of that quirkiness, playfulness. And then I opened the first W outside of the States. And back at the end of the 90s, beginning of 2000, W was this brand that was really trying to turn hospitality on its head in a way, trying to do things differently, really was very much lifestyle and fun. And I think where it did very well was because it was creating such a great vibe and energy and people wanted to be there, you could charge almost higher rates, and so suddenly you had a very different product out on the market. And over the years you've seen that whole boutique hospitality sort of, or boutique properties, become more popular, and hotels designs change. You wanted social spaces, and you wanted not just a typical lobby, but you wanted people to feel welcome when they walked into the hotel by creating this sort of living room aspect. And I think, for me, I sort of fell in love with that lifestyle approach. I felt it suited my approach to service, where it was less formal, but still wanting to deliver quality service. And I think that's probably the, I don't want to move away from your question, but I think, lifestyle properties, it's always tricky because there's this perception of people are being themselves and a little bit less formal, that hotels are not necessarily delivering service. So when you get it wrong, people are, oh well, that's because you're not calling me sir, or you're taking it lightly, when we're not. And so there's always a fine balance, and that then comes to the training where, hey, look, yes, we work for a cool brand, but it doesn't mean we're cooler than the guests. The guests at the end of the day pay our salary. So it's always a fine line of, you know, and I think W Sydney, when it first opened, was almost hired a lot of models who looked great in a tight black t-shirt, but really couldn't get luggage to the room on time. So you had to really kind of change your approach to make sure, okay, we're finding the right look and feel and fit and image, but we still need to deliver service. So for me, decisions have always been made on, is it a brand that I believe in? Is it something that enables me to bring my personality through? And I think that's one of the great things with So, you know, we sit under Ennismore, and Ennismore's, you know, a collection of lifestyle properties, founder-led. So these are brands that the founder has created and has their DNA in the properties. And I remember the most recent move, you know, Ennismore is one of these companies that have all the fun, cool brands, you know, whether it's So, whether it's 25 Hours, Mondrian, SLS, Delano, all these great brands. And I remember interviewing with the gentleman at the time, and I said to him, look, even if I'm unsuccessful, I'm sometimes torn. Should I focus on lifestyle, or should I just go and run a hotel? Doesn't matter, that all hotels are the same, we're delivering service. And he said to me, look, if you are unsuccessful, sorry, but I agree, you need to continue down that route of something that you believe in, and it's easier to sell. And I have made mistakes in the past where I've accepted positions and they haven't been for me. And it's partly been because maybe it's too rigid, maybe it's too meat factory and not enough personality coming through. And so for me, it's very much, I need to believe in the property and believe in the product that we're putting out.
Yeah. So it sounds like for you, without that connection to bring in your own personality into an environment that kind of has aspects of the your personality, that's when you've not regretted it, but where you're like, that's why. Usually that's why.
Okay. Exactly. And I think as you get older, you know, you have to be more careful with some of those decisions. Sure. Yeah, because look, you want to be proud of what you're putting out there. When you work into the lobby, you want to be proud of, hey, look at this. This is great. This is I'm happy to meet with the guests, and it gives you also a confidence to the team where they're like, look, we are delivering a good product, a good job. Maybe it's not a hotel for everyone, and we accept that, and we focus on those guests who do, you know, like the environment and want to be part of it. Because there's I think there's lots of different options out there for guests, and you can't be the same thing to everyone,
of course.
And you know, some brands suit other guests better than maybe my brand right now, which is fine. You know, it's okay.
Yeah.
And I think in those instances, we're very open with the guest to say, hey, look, I'm sorry we didn't get it right. Maybe it's not for you. Let's shake hands. Wish you well. We're not. You know, we recommend maybe these guys. And on the flip side, when you're out selling the property, you have a confidence to say to them, hey, look, we have done some great big events. We've nailed this. We've nailed that. Come and stay. Come and try it.
Yeah.
See if it's for you.
No, for sure. And I think that, you know, that makes the most sense. Even when I was throughout my sales experience, when there was a product that, I know there's products that I couldn't care if this sold, this box that does this, I don't care.
Yeah.
But a medical platform, I was like, oh, no, this could maybe help someone. I did care.
Yeah, 100%.
So it was different. It was a completely different experience.
Yeah, and that's what you try and then when you're trying to attract talent, it becomes much easier when you believe in it.
Of course,
know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think it comes through. And you know, I use that word authenticity a lot, right? And I never oversell the dream to talent. I think people are very aware when they join whether you've been transparent. So always very transparent, I think, because you need to lay it out properly so that when they do come on board, they're aware of what they're coming into. But I do think it makes it easier to attract the right talent when you believe in it. Also, when you have the foundations there, so understanding what your brand is all about, and you know, if you know that, it also helps your team understand what profile of person that we're looking for in order that will fit, firstly, the environment. You know, new hotels are challenging. You know, you don't always have all of the processes in place. If you're coming from a solid brand which has 50, 60 hotels around the world, maybe there is a bit more processes there to draw upon. But when it is a new brand, and some people embrace it and are like, you know what, fine, let's work on those processes together. Let's put our own footprint on there. And then there's others who come in and can't handle, hey, where's the SOP on this? Oh, we need to create it. Hang on a minute. That's partly new hotels and new hotels with younger brands can be a little bit more challenging.
More challenging. Yeah.
Perspective.
Yeah. And I can understand that. One of the misconceptions that she mentioned to me was people think from an outside perspective, hospitality is a very glamorous industry.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
But she's like, behind the scenes, there are a lot of very unglamorous aspects to the job and so on. Yeah. So what are there any other common ones that maybe we have, like people, a consumer would have about a hotel that we have, you know, just no idea about?
Look, I think from a understanding properties, I think I agree. Look, it is very glamorous, and people sort of think you go and sit in the restaurant and have your lunch there every day, and you have your a nice piece of steak, and then dinner you have a three course meal and go home. It's not quite like that.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably what you referenced earlier. There's a lot of moving parts, and I think opening a hotel is probably a bit like, I always liken it also a bit like a ship. Well, that once you start running, you can't stop. And once a hotel is open, okay, unless COVID comes along and you shut something, you open and off you go, and there's no stopping it. And then that's when, you know, you have to be quite agile. And I think hotels are constantly looking at what they're doing. Is it hitting the right target demographic? Are we achieving the goals we want to? And being agile to move and flex when that's not working. I think it is a lot of hard work, really. And I think people don't intentionally go out to create bad experiences for their guests. I think, you know, we used to talk about, you know, when you got to work, you'd put your normal clothes in a locker and you'd put on your uniform. But we would also talk about the mental locker, right? Where if you're having a bad day, you had a fight with your wife in the morning, you didn't take the trash out, you're in trouble. But once you get to work, you kind of need to put it in the mental locker and go out and deal with the guests. And
yeah.
And so I think that's where people don't always maybe, understand or appreciate, hey, look, people are living their lives. They've come to work. There may be other stuff going on in the background. But also it's not our job to let the guests feel that. So it's just one of those industries where you kind of got to stick it, lock it away and deal with it later. But then that's when you rely on a lot of the other support departments. You know, a lot of guests see the front of house guys, but you know, the stewarding guys who are cleaning the plates and everything, the housekeeping guys who are cleaning the toilets, getting the beds made, two engineering teams making sure, you know, all the Wi-Fi routers are still working, TVs are working, HR to making sure that the staff are mentally healthy and not. And I think the biggest learning for me when I moved to this region was we obviously manage the staff accommodation as well as the hotel. So, you know, in Australia, you'd go home at 7 p.m. Okay, I'll see you tomorrow. I don't know what happens between 7 p.m. and 7 a.m. when I see you the next day. But here in this region, you know, their roommate is important. If they're having an issue with their roommate, we kind of need to deal with it. We need to make sure the buses are on time, that the staff canteen here and in the compound and the accommodation is at a suitable level. And so you end up managing a lot of different other aspects to what you normally might in just a regular hotel in London, you know. So it adds a different dynamic to things, and often accommodation runs at a higher occupancy than the hotel because you've kind of got the staff there and they're there when it's high season, low season. You tend to have the same number of staff floating around, so maybe just more on holidays. But you know, you're managing a whole nother aspect to, you know, to what you're maybe used to. So you know, so it's interesting when I sit there, I every 2 weeks I'll sit with a selection of team members from the different departments just to say, hey, look, you know, what do you need from me to support you in your jobs? And invariably the top three are, you know, staff canteen food, you know, choices, the bus timings, and you know, maybe Wi-Fi in the accommodation is not working well enough, and those are the three key things. And so, if you nail that, they're happy. So it's not my boss is mean to me, or you know, my shoes are uncomfortable, or it's invariably those three things. And you know, when you have 60 different cultures, it's hard to get all of the food offerings right. But it's good to know it's those things. I'd worry more if it was. You know, how they're being managed, and then I would have a concern. But these are things that you can tackle.
Yeah, exactly. So. Very fixable.
Very fixable. Very 100%. And that's, you know, and I think that's where you can then measure, you know, I guess there's a few different metrics, right? Commercially, making money, that's obviously critical. But then I think your guest service, you can tell how engaged your team are by the guest service scores. And I think when they're not engaged, you see things drop and suffer.
Can you see now, given all your experience, can you very quickly like look at a team and be like, okay, I think this is where the problem area is? Or like, do you have, because you've been in it for so long, can you pick out where those issues might be?
Yeah, I think, you know, I like to think, I think on occasion you know if you don't get that aspect right, there's going to be a problem. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing also is from, when you look at teams, when you look at different leaders, I think you can get an understanding of maybe where there is an issue. Now, it's not always cut and dry. I think when you're a general manager, the nice thing is every staff member smiles to you and, you know, says good morning. And you know, I don't ask for that. But you can tell when teams are maybe not getting that same level of respect from their leaders. You can walk in and they're maybe a little bit on edge or a little bit uncomfortable, and you know that maybe there's an underlying issue that they're facing, and so I think you pick up on it. Is it years of experience? Is it because I'm slightly more empathetic and less analytical? Maybe there's an element of that too. But no, you can sort of see where you're going to have a bigger issue. And then so obviously it's my job to jump on that and to make sure that we have the right structure in place. And I think you know it sometimes when you're hiring leaders, you or any staff, you know their strengths. I do laugh when you ask that sort of question of where do you need to work on, and a lot of people reply, you know, I'm a perfectionist, so that's probably my biggest fault. And you know, and it's not a question of, hey, you aren't, you know, everyone has what they're good at and what they could work better on at. And I think it's you probably judge people more when they can't identify their weaknesses than if they do, because we make decisions and say, you know what, this person's got great guest skills, maybe lacks a bit of admin skills. Mm-hmm. You know what? Fine. We need someone who's going to be out there delivering great guest service. We'll make sure we bring them the support to help them on those areas.
On those, yeah.
And so you never want to hire a bunch of, I don't want to hire a bunch of Daniels, right? I need different leaders who complement my skill set.
Sure.
So that we have a stronger team. And I think lifestyle can be hard to manage because you have people with their own personality.
Absolutely, yeah.
And not everyone likes that as a leader in this region. There's a lot of cultures say yes, no, and get on with it. And then there's a lot who will challenge. And I would rather have people challenging because it means they've got an opinion and that means they care. It's making sure we do it in a respectful way. But often my conversations with leaders are that I don't think this person's great because they question this. And I say, well, for me, that's an important thing. I'd rather they question because then we're going to know where we need to work and where we're at. And so let's accept that people are going to challenge us.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting beast.
And listening to, like, I think reflecting on our conversation so far, people is the crux of underlying, this whole industry.
Yeah.
And you said something at the beginning when you're like, once you open a hotel, it's like a ship.
Yep.
This is moving and it can never stop.
Yep.
So that would, from my perspective, because then my question then becomes, I'm like, okay, if that's the case and you're like, it's a machine that's running 24/7, I feel that would make innovation very challenging, because some things you might want to do are gonna have a negative maybe effect on your guest experience in the short term, but pick it up in the long term. So what do you say to, I guess, that? Because I feel in that industry, all the innovation, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know, all the innovation, in my opinion, happens before you launch. Because that's where all the, like, oh, we'll do this differently, this, that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And look, and you know what's funny is you say, let's do this, and then you open and you realize that, heck, actually that doesn't work, right? And I remember I opened a property here in Dubai and we said, you know what, every guest, we're going to check them in with an iPad. You know, this is about 10 years ago. An iPad, hey, that's cool. Everyone's going to the front desk and we'll sit in the lobby cafe, have a coffee, do the check-in on the iPad. How cool are we, right? And guests don't want that. Guests coming into the hotel, okay, they might enjoy a conversation with their front desk agent, but they don't want to sit for 5 minutes in the lobby and have a coffee. They just want to get to their room. And I think it's important, you do things that the guests want and not necessarily what we're trying to, to do.
Okay.
So I think innovation... I think there's two different types of innovation. I think when you're looking at service and trying new things, I think hotels can be a little bit creative and you can be quite agile and change things as you move along. And you can implement things and it's okay. I think the bigger innovation when it maybe comes to, say, technology and, that is tougher because, once you open... To roll out new technology is tough. And the problem is, that's why often before you open a hotel, you almost wait till the last second to place your order for TVs or laptops or computers because it's changing so quickly. What I ordered last year to open the hotel in July is probably very different to what I would order if I was opening the hotel next month. And so I think those bigger... ticket items of technology and innovation around that is hard once you open to implement because you get to a point where you have to say, look, we have to open, we need to get ready, let's go. So absolutely yes on some of those big ticket innovative ideas, whether it's look at AI now, how do you bring that into the workforce?
That's where I was going next.
And I think certain things you can look at. Hospitality at the end of the day is a people industry and you need that guest contact. And I think when you look at things like technology or AI, I think it's more around some of the processes that we have and how it can support us in process-led things so that the team are still free to engage with our guests.
So more an automation.
You look at pricing strategies for the hotel, you know, we have a revenue director who looks at the pricing, but there is a lot of intuitive systems out there which
will adjust
accordingly now
based
right?
on exactly. time of year, exactly. demand, occupancy,
and even throughout the day.
Even throughout the day.
Yeah, absolutely. So these things help then that revenue director look at the bigger picture and say, right, okay, I know my pricing is mobile and is reacting. How could I maybe better support the hotel in delivering a better revenue strategy across all the different disciplines, whether it's F&B, spa, rooms? So suddenly that gentleman has more time to focus on those things because the system's working for them. So you can do it. I think, look, hotels and companies are aware that they need to be able to plug things in as you go along. I think the bigger the companies are, probably the harder it is because you've got a
so
lot
many
more
processes.
Boxes and
yeah,
processes
exactly.
and data protection and security of the guest is paramount. And so you don't just find a new system off the street and plug it in. You know, there it probably takes 9 to 12 months to get it validated by specific, depending on what it is.
Okay.
If the system is having access to guest details, then you need to make sure you're a lot more careful.
And our hotels here, it's just a small tangent, do they go on GDPR compliancy here, or how does it work?
Yeah, no, there is. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. No, absolutely. Okay. We there's a lot of internal, simple things like, you know, credit card numbers. The team don't know it, right? It's not there, right? We may take it, but we have the last four digits. So, there's certain controls in place that... And it's controls not because we're worried that team members are dishonest. It's just, you know, it's just making sure that...
There should be some controls.
Yeah, it's just making sure that opportunities are not there. I think a lot of times things that have happened in properties have not been because people are actively out to do anything wrong. It's it's opportunity that something's there, and it's making sure that we minimize those opportunities.
Exactly.
And give our guests the confidence that we're taking care of not just the service but everything.
But everything, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so coming on to, so we've talked a lot today about lots of different areas of, you know, hotels and hospitality. I wanted to round off this last section with kind of focusing on, how do I say this? A kind of building that, I guess, trust and that loyalty with, you know, with your guests. Because I was looking at, I've had someone from the, her name is Paula. She has a hospitality podcast. She's amazing. She told me what I learned from my conversation with her is she said, if there's no customer experience, then there's no loyalty for a foundation. There's no foundation for loyalty. So that means creating a loyalty program doesn't make any sense.
Yep.
So, and if loyalty programs are not about, I guess, the points or whatever, I feel they'd be done a certain way. I feel loyalty programs typically have been done a certain way for a very long time. So my question to you is, I guess, where do you see what could the future of those look like?
Yep. Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, we as Ennismore as a company has just rolled out a new loyalty program called Disloyalty. The idea is moving away from that traditional point model, but more like, you pay to become a member of Disloyalty, and, you know, little add-ons where, for example, you can have a complimentary coffee every day of the year in any of the Ennismore properties, which sounds silly, but, you know, it's nice, you know, you walk into SLS and you can have your coffee today at SLS and do some work from the lobby or whatever it might be. But it's in a way you're creating value by offering these members discounts and access to special prices. I think the traditional loyalty model was guests would come, spend, and earn their points, which has worked very well. And you know, companies acquire other companies because of their loyalty members, right? You know, I've worked for a property where...
Is that what they do?
Well, I think you've got, you know, if you think some loyalty programs, you've got over 125 million members, right? That's a big market to say, hey, yeah, I just opened a hotel, come and try it. You know, that's a big, you know, it's bigger than some countries, right? And you know, when you're buying, you know, you're buying a guest that is there, right?
Market,
so and know the brand and know the program. I had a hotel that got sold for and went from one brand or company, which had a very strong loyalty program. I remember it happened on the 31st of January. We were running at 90% occupancy. 1st of February, we woke up. We were a new company. We were no longer attached to this big brand. And we went, you know, we were at 80% occupancy, fine. 2nd of February, we dropped to 50%. 3rd of February, we were sitting at 15% because all of the loyalty members, they weren't earning their points anymore, just shifted to other hotels within the city where they could earn their points. So whilst it's loyal and I see you every week and you're here, as soon as those points were switched off, you were gone. You know, it didn't matter if we had seen each other Okay. And so,
very interesting.
And you know, and I physically saw over a week we were suddenly running at very low occupancy because we didn't have those loyalty members. So those programs are super important. Look at your Emirates, right? You know, okay, I'm sure I can get to the lounge. Okay, great. You know, we all love those points. But I think, and that's why it's nice with disloyalty is. You know, let's open up all of the properties to you. You know, you can go and try new hotels at a special price, and it's been pretty successful. You know, we see people signing up, and it.
Have you guys? It sounds like you guys have just flipped the model.
Yeah. So this is coming from Ennismore. Absolutely. Yeah. They've turned it on its head. Guys, it's, you know, pay, and you know, you're not paying a lot. It's pretty reasonable every month, and you have access to all of the properties in the portfolio.
That's
special prices, come to the restaurants, special discounts, because a lot of the traditional loyalty models, you're not doing discounts for these members, because your argument is, hey, come earn points, you're earning points, you can redeem those points, so we don't need to offer you a discount. But I think people are looking for special prices and special rates, and you know, you don't want to be heavily discount led, but the intent is, you know, you get a new crowd through your property, someone who hasn't maybe tried it before, and it is very much a different model, and so it'll be really interesting to see how that continues to grow, and how, you know, it was only launched sort of last year, towards the end of last year, so still very new. Mm-mm. but it'll be interesting to see how it continues to.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm curious how that works out, because it seems so counterintuitive. It's almost the opposite of what I would what we typically the model typically has been. But listening to you, I actually see there's more value probably in this than the hotel itself, like the actual booking of the room, because then what I can generate from this in terms of volume at a much lower cost might offset all of the, you know, could offset all of these things. Yes. So it's a very, I was thinking about this in our conversation. I'm like, from the sounds of it, listening to you talk about hotels, I'm like, it feels like a hotel is the holding group, and within it is like 5-10 different businesses that each have to be run, themselves.
Yeah.
And I never put those two together.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
There is. Look, I think, you have each department has its commercial responsibilities, and leaders need to take ownership of their respective departments, sections, and it's like a big, it's almost like a microcosm of something else, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like any company, right? They all have their different divisions, and if you look at a hotel group, you know, the head office might be in one country, and you've got other countries that then have their own deliverables, and then you break it down to city, then you break it down to literally, you know, so it's interesting when you sort of, you know, it has changed, right? I think hotels are there's lots of big companies behind them, there's, you know, commercial responsibility, cost building hotels is not cheap. Acquiring the land, you know, so it is a there's certainly long-term investments.
Absolutely.
And all very critical. And that's when loyalty programs become very important. It gives you leverage when you're going to Mr. Owner and saying, hey, think of my brand and not that brand. I've got this. Returns on your investment. So there's a lot of different stakeholders at the end of the day. And it's... it is what it is. It's exciting, and you put on lots of different hats, right? You go and talk to your team about.
There you go. Yeah,
my chicken biryani wasn't very good in the staff canteen, and then I'm sitting with the owner as to where are we positioning the rate and how are we going to make more money this year. So it's very different conversations, right?
I think on a personal growth perspective for you personally, that is massive because my philosophy is, which is why I do the podcast with everything. I believe you learn the most speaking to people.
Yep.
So having, and not only speaking to the same type of people, but speaking to different sizes, shapes, sizes, nationalities, backgrounds, this, that. I think that's what makes you grow the most as a person.
Yeah. And
that's
my philosophy. Yeah, no, it's true. And I think, I think back when I first started out, I was probably a bit stubborn, right? And I didn't always maybe listen to others' opinions. No, this is how we should do it. I know best. And if you constantly have that mindset, you're going to fail. And I think you have to be open to lots of different conversations, and even in hotels, right? It's just because I'm the GM doesn't mean my word is gospel, right? I need feedback from my team around me. You hear the different ideas or visions or arguments, and then ultimately, yes, I'll make the decision. But it also comes from the guy parking the car.
Hey, exactly, yeah.
You know, sir, this is a pain because there's a barrier. You make sense. Let's remove the barrier. You have to be open to all different points of view.
Yeah.
And I think, I think the one thing I really enjoy working in Dubai is there is so many entrepreneurs. And I love sitting with different entrepreneurs, whatever field, because you pick up their energy, right? And you really learn a lot, and just how they approach things and why they do things. And so it's always very, I find it very interesting. And I think we're lucky in this city that there is so many entrepreneurs. Absolutely. And I'm sure you have a long list of people that you get through. Yeah. And, you walk out of it going, I walk out of some of those meetings thinking, gee, I'm not doing enough. I need to do more. Absolutely. So it's interesting. It's interesting.
Yeah. It does. I must say Dubai does have a very unique energy in that it's very entrepreneurial. It's also that it's very entrepreneurial. It's small and it's unbelievably geographically located.
Yeah, 100%.
Put those three together, you have an ecosystem to hopefully, get the best of the best of the best.
Yeah.
You mentioned something just now touching on ROI and hotels and stuff. And this was something that I never knew. And for people who don't know, this might blow your mind. I didn't know that when I'm going to a Marriott, for example, or a Soho or whatever, doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to a Marriott. Or in the sense that I didn't know that a hotel could be managed.
Or franchise.
I didn't know it could be franchised. Yeah. And I didn't know it could be a hybrid or you could have full ownership. So that was, I'm like, what? But it says this and it says that. But obviously as a consumer, clearly, but we've realized in this conversation that we're oblivious to these things.
Yeah.
I'm curious, because you've been in it for so long, I have my answer on what I think revenue-wise is probably the best. But I think... looking at those three things, I think managed is probably where you get the best return on investment, but I could be wrong. In your experience, what have you seen? I don't know. What's the best?
Look, I haven't worked with a lot of franchise models. I think franchises, you pay for that brand, right? But then that day-to-day operation
is you.
Is you and the team and for me, I think managed you have more support in a way. You've got the corporate team. So for example, we open a new hotel, we can leverage on Ennismore and the experts there. We can also leverage on Accor and the global sales team. And you know, you have a lot of different stakeholders who can support you in delivering the property. I think franchise can sometimes maybe be a bit restrictive. You pay for a brand and then it...
The success is down
to
you.
And yeah. I think, look, certain brands, I know hotel companies don't like to franchise because, you know, for your luxury properties, there's a certain level of integrity and a certain level of
quality
expectation
exactly.
that you get.
And
if suddenly it's being franchised and Mr. Owner doesn't think it's very important to have, you know, your 800 thread count sheet, and I'm going to get, you know, I'll give him some cotton ones for 200. You know, these things
will affect
okay. in the long term. I think people see it. And I think that's, I think any time you get above 30, 35 brands, it becomes a struggle to maintain some of those in brand integrity, because it does suddenly become a lot bigger to manage and ensure that everyone is following the same.
Absolutely, yeah.
Same standard. But look, I do get it, right? I do understand the owner's concerns sometimes when they're told, hey, you have to do this because every property is doing it, and then they travel to New York and they go and check into the same hotel and they're not doing it. You get a photo from the owner saying, they're not doing it. Why did you make me do this? And so that's then
interesting.
A tricky conversation.
Of course, yeah, absolutely.
Or you know, every I worked with one group, every hotel has to have a green wall in the lobby of live plants, and that's expensive. And convince the owners to do it, and it's a brand thing, and then the next year it's removed from the brand standards. It's just like you've got this, you know, beautiful plant wall, and it's like, you know, the owners have
just in this location,
so,
too. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think I get it, but I think look, on the whole, I think owners are very aware of what they expect from their properties. You know, they're very involved in the day to day. In the past, I think it probably wasn't as to that extent, but now I think they're very involved in the day to day. So look, it's a good thing because it ensures that teams are delivering what they said they would deliver. You know, I worked for one hotel company where, yeah, look, the chairman would come and sit in and have a coffee, and you know, you'd get a note afterwards from his PA saying, look, olive tree's dusty, curb is damaged, call the corporate team to come and fix the curb. And you know, it kept you on your toes, but at the end of the day it was a good thing because the asset maintained its quality. Guests would still see a great product after 10, 12 years. I think it comes down to what the owner wants to get out of the property and what they're comfortable in running. Because some hotel companies have, or some hotel owning company, they will have a couple of Marriotts, a couple of Accors, a couple of Hiltons. And so they may prefer a franchise because they've kind of created their own team and house of
how to
hospitality
run
experts. They'll drive it that way.
Okay, interesting.
So it really, I think... Yeah, it really comes down to what they want, mm-hmm. And there is obviously a lot of transparency. They see what support maybe a core is giving that maybe Hilton isn't, or vice versa. So you know, you see they know, right? Because they're operating with
exactly,
lots of different brands, so it keeps you on your toes. But
for sure. But it's really interesting that I never looked at the franchise model for a hotel as a negative, but when you reframed it as when you're delivering something of that level, it has to be of that level, then it's probably not a very popular model because you can't, after a certain extent, guarantee that quality across your 100, 200, 300.
Yeah, I think, look, and I think that's why you have your brand standards. That's
exactly,
why you have the brand standard audits, and you need to deliver on those brand standards. And if you don't, then it gives you a framework to have a conversation with, you know, whoever it might be to say, hey, look, we're lacking on this. We need to ensure we do this. Otherwise, we can't maintain that brand. And I don't think it's right or wrong. I think it's just what the owner feels is going to be best for their investment. And
that's what it's going to come down to.
100%, right? They're spending, you know, you're spending $200 million on building something. You want to make sure that you get the right...
Some good stuff.
You want to make sure you get the right return. And so however you decide to do that...
it's up to you, I guess.
Yeah, up to you. But I do think... you know, hotels are, you know, they're expensive to run. There's a lot of costs around just from staffing, just from, you know, energy. All, you know, there is a lot of costs that go into running a property.
Yeah.
And that's why as leaders, it's important that we look at what are those best operating models. How can we be more efficient? Having the outlook to say, hey, you know what? We know summer, June, July is quiet. We don't need all the hands on deck, and you know, being agile and being ready to, or having the plan, not even being agile, just having the plan laid out so that you can
adjust accordingly.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, 100%.
Dan, for my last two questions. So first of all, I asked Lisa, I'm like, are there any hotel secrets that I should know about? So she told me about like half board, you know, asking for a half board at check-in and so on. I'm like, okay, that's a little trick. Is there anything else that you could recommend?
No, look, I think...
how can I get an upgrade?
That's what I really want to know. I think, you know what? I think it's been, I think if you're, people want to help people who are nice, right?
Yeah,
and I think if you come in with the sort of mentality of, hey, it's, you know, my girlfriend or my wife's, or maybe both, you know, it's their birthday, anything special you can do. You know, hotels do want to help out.
They are accommodating, I must say.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think if you approach it from a nice point of view and be nice to the team, invariably it gets you a longer way than not. I sometimes think these getting club rooms is sometimes good because you've got the breakfast there, you've got the drinks there, you've got the afternoon tea, and it actually probably works out a little bit more competitive when you take a club room access, because you've got access to a few other benefits that maybe save you in your pocket. I think don't steal the bathrobes. We can catch you. We've had guests take radios and almost TVs, and you're like, no offense, but I don't know how it got in my car. No, neither do we. But how about we put it back? So, ask nicely, and invariably we may do it. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Be nice, guys. Be nice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Dan, I wanted to say, first of all, thank you so much for your time today and for coming on the show, man. This has been such a eye-opening experience for me. I love learning about industries I know nothing about. I really appreciate it. For my last question, and this is a question that I ask all my guests, what is the message that you'd like everyone to take home with them today?
I think anyone thinking about getting into hospitality, you know, it is very much a passion project. It's can sometimes be a little bit thankless, as you said, but it is a great industry. It gives you a lot of opportunities to move and live around the world. It gives you a skill set that's not just hospitality focus. At the end of the day, it's service. So you could move in to banking, anywhere. any industry,
absolutely,
medical. Yeah. You know, having that hospitality background, I think, gives you a really great work ethic that you can take into other industries. Just be nice. But thanks a lot for your time. I really appreciate it.
thank you, Dan. And you know, kept it simple. Be nice. Clearly, Dan is a very nice guy. What I wanted to say, Dan, is thank you so much for your time, first of all. You really opened my eyes to so many things. I didn't know anything about the industry. I know a little bit more. And I think anyone listening to this who wants to get into hospitality or is curious about the field or whatever, there's so much they could take from this. So thank you so much. If people want to work with you, reach out, plug the hotel. Where can we get in touch with you guys?
Yeah, have a look at So Dubai. on Instagram. You've got some great content on there. Have a look. Otherwise, yeah, SoHotels/Dubai, and you'll find lots about us. So, no, thank you very much.
There you go. Dan, thank you so much, man. I really, really appreciate it. Guys, to everyone listening, thank you for your time. Please make sure to like, share, follow, and subscribe to the podcast at Hope It Helps Pod on all channels. And as always, guys, hope it helps. Peace.